You're listening to the Qalam Institute podcast series, Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussein Kamani. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Qalam Institute.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa, khususan ala sayyidi rasul wa khatam al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-azkiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya, amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah, today is the 17th of Ramadan. And the 17th of Ramadan is a very powerful day in Islamic history. This is a day that the Muslims should never ever forget. Because such a great incident took place on this day that until the day of judgment, as long as this world remains, people will always remember the day of 17th of Ramadan. Can anyone tell me what happened on this day? Raise your hand if you know the answer. Kid at the back. The Battle of Badr took place. Very, very good. The great Battle of Badr took place in the second year after migration on the 17th of Ramadan. And I thought, what better reflection can we have than to remember the Battle of Badr today? There were actually many great battles that took place in the month of Ramadan. Some very good battles, especially in particular, there were five battles that took place in the month of Ramadan that have placed such a position in Islamic history that till today, the Muslims are indebted to those five battles. And we will always remember those five battles. The first one obviously being the Battle of Badr. The second one being the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. The third one being Tariq bin Ziyad waging war and being victorious in Spain. The third being Mahmud al-Marmi's attack against the Tatar and beating them. There was the first loss they ever had in their life. It was in the month of Ramadan. And then the last one being Salahuddin Ayyubi's victory in the Battle of Hattin. And after that, Palestine came under Islamic rule once again. These five battles. And I thought that maybe in the next 5 days we can discuss each of them, inshallah, al-Aziz. Just so we can remember them and reflect over the great incidents that took place, some of the bad things that happened, some of the good things that happened, and we can also try to learn lessons from them, inshallah. The Battle of Badr, as I mentioned, took place in the second year after migration. The build-up to the Battle of Badr was that Abu Sufyan took a caravan for business. And he took all the investments from the people of Makkah Mukarramah, and he said to them that when I return back from Makkah, I will bring profit to you on your investments. And those who had invested in that particular caravan, they had made intention that they will use every penny of their profit and then reinvest it again in an army to fight against the Muslims. Now when that caravan was returning with many folds of profit, the Prophet ﷺ came to know of this and he said to the Sahaba, we have to stop that caravan from reaching Makkah. Because if it reaches Makkah, they're going to send a very large army after us. So the Prophet ﷺ with a few Sahaba, simply with the intention to stop a caravan. What was the intention? To stop a caravan, that's it. 313 of them, they left. And they went to intercede the caravan. Abu Sufyan, who at the time had not accepted Islam, when he heard that people were coming towards him to intercept his caravan, he changed the route immediately. And then he sent one person to rush to Makkah and tell the people of Makkah that someone is attacking us. Abu Jahl, when he heard the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba are coming towards the direction of the caravan, he became very angry. And he made an announcement in Makkah Mukarramah that every man, every young man and every adult should stand and pull out their swords and march towards the direction of the Prophet ﷺ. They amassed an army of 1,000 people on horses, on camels, on powerful, animals. And they had armor on, and they had swords, and they had arrows, and they had spears. They had their helmets on. These people were ready for war. While the Sahaba, they were simply stopping a caravan. That's it. They just took a few sticks. Maybe we'll just scare them a little bit, and that's it. And while these guys, they got ready. And 1,000 of them, they begin to march towards the Prophet ﷺ. Now Abu Sufyan, after he dodged the Muslims, he immediately sent another messenger telling Abu Jahl that there's no need for the battle anymore. There's no need for you guys to do anything because we've dodged them. You know, we're safe now. Let's just use this money the way we originally planned and then we'll make an attack. Abu Jahl was so arrogant that he said, no, now that we've put an army together, we will flatten the Muslims out. And after preparing this large army, he also took with him women who were going to dance and celebrate the victory. He was so sure of the victory that he was taking the confetti with him. That as soon as we win, we're going to start celebrating like crazy. He already prepared his celebration speech, if you wish to say, his victory speech. He was so confident of it. And as they were marching in the direction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard that an army of 1,000 people was coming his way, they had 313 men together and there was 1,000 on that side. The ratio was 3 to 1. One Muslim to three from the opposition. We wouldn't even stand up to a basketball game that had a ratio like that. And here this is battle. And this is the very first great battle that's taking place in the history of Islam. Whenever someone talks about the history of Islam and the first great battle, the Battle of Badr will be mentioned. And the results of the Battle of Badr are very important. The Prophet ﷺ was very worried. The Sahaba were very worried. They couldn't retreat because that army was going to follow them wherever they went. If they went to Medina, then if there was a loss, that loss would be brought to Medina. And everyone in Medina would then be crushed. And the Prophet ﷺ did not want to put Medina Munawwara at any sort of harm at all. The Prophet ﷺ sat down with the Sahaba and he said to them, "What is your opinion? What should we do?" Now some of the Sahaba were from the Muhajirin, some of them were from the Ansar. Now the Ansari Sahaba who accepted Islam, when they took pledge at the hands of the Prophet ﷺ and invited the Prophet ﷺ to Medina Munawwara, they said very clearly in the pledge that if there is any battle that takes place between you and people who you had issues with before migration, we will not be a part of it technically. We don't have to be a part of it. Anything that happens after migration, someone takes a fight with us, someone has a problem with us, then we're by your side. The Prophet ﷺ, remembering that one clause in their agreement, he spoke to the Sahaba of the Ansar and said to them, "What will you guys do? The Muhajirin are always with me, but what are you guys going to do? Will you hold on to your agreement or are you going to stand by my side?" And then subhanAllah, the Sahaba, they said to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that even if you were to take your horses into the oceans, we would follow you right behind. We aren't going to say to you what Musa alayhi salam's companion said to Musa alayhi salam. We will stand by your side right till the end of it. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this, he smiled. And the reason why he smiled is because he was happy to know that the Sahaba around him were with him through thick and thin. Right? And this is a big principle here. Many of our communities, they're with their imams only through good times. But as soon as times become difficult, then what happens? They leave their masajid, they leave their imam, they leave their board, they run away. They forget about loyalty. Loyalty is a very important thing. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ became so happy with. It was that these sahaba, they could have easily said, "We're out." But they said, "No, we will remain loyal to the Prophet ﷺ." And they stood by the side of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ, he said to the sahaba that tomorrow they will reach. He settled all the sahaba down and said to them, "Everyone, take some rest and go to sleep. Now tomorrow you have a very big exam." Right? How could you sleep the night before? Forget exam, this is a big battle. Tomorrow these people don't know whether the Muslim caravan will return to Medina saying that now your children are orphaned and your wife is a widow. They don't know if they're going to live or not tomorrow. Tomorrow could be the end of it all. And they've made so much sacrifice for this, and tomorrow literally could be the end of it. So how are they going to sleep? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sent down sakina. He sent down peace and tranquility on Allah and on the companions and the messenger. On the companions and the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what happens? They all fell asleep. And imagine if you've had a nice sleep before the exam, how energetic you're going to feel. The next morning, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though he had sakina, he didn't sleep. He stayed awake all night making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Fajr time came, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Bilal radiallahu anhu and he said, "Bilal, stand up and give the adhan." And Bilal radiallahu anhu got up and he gave the adhan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led the Fajr salah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the Sahaba seated and he spoke to them. He said to them, "Today is a very big day. Do not run away from the battlefield. Stand close to each other. Be firm. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَا أَيُّوَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا لَقِيتُمْ فِئَةً فَاثْبُتُوا وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. The Prophet ﷺ is giving them these instructions that how to prepare themselves for the battle. Now what happens is that it's all done. And then after the lecture is over, the Prophet ﷺ says to the Sahaba, "Stand up now and make your lines." And the kuffar on the other side, as the sun is rising, they're preparing their lines. And the Prophet says to them, "Stand up and prepare your lines." And the Sahaba, they stand up. Someone's wearing something on his chest. Someone's wearing nothing on his chest. Someone's standing on his feet. Someone's sitting on a donkey. Someone's carrying a stick in his hand. Someone's carrying a sword in his hand. Someone's carrying a branch while another one's carrying a spear. They're just like a kind of like a broken team right here. Right? But they're broken apparently, but from within they were so solid. that it's beyond imagination how solid they were from within. Because they trusted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what made these Sahaba very unique. That's what made them very, very unique. From outside, the Sahaba who fought in the Battle of Badr had no reason to be victorious. But it was from within that Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Anfal, five characteristics that they possessed that made them victorious in the Battle of Badr. What were the five characteristics? إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا. Surah Anfal was revealed after the Battle of Badr. What were they supposed to do with all the goods after they were victorious? Allah Azza wa Jalla says five characteristics. What were the five characteristics that the Sahaba had that made them victorious in the Battle of Badr? They drank a lot of protein shake. They all had membership at export. Great cardio, very agile, and their stamina was unbelievable. No, none of this stuff. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was one of the Sahaba who fought in the Battle of Badr. He was so thin, the Sahaba used to make fun of him. One day he climbed up a tree, and the Sahaba were looking at his shin. They said, look at that thin guy. You know how we say to each other, look at the chicken legs? People in our days, all the young guys, they go to the gym and they make their upper part of the body wide, while their legs are small. Chicken legs, right? You have to ask what your priorities are, when the legs are most important to work out. That's another story. Okay. And the Prophet ﷺ says, don't make fun of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud's legs. They have a lot of weight on the scale of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have a lot of weight. They, when they heard the name of Allah, their hearts would tremble. When they heard the verses of the Qur'an, their faith would increase. They relied on Allah. They established their prayer and they gave their charity. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا. And here you have 313 of them, they were ready. And the Prophet ﷺ, when the kuffar came in front, three of them came out from the mubarazah. So the kuffar were lying on one side, the Muslims were lying on the other side. And what they would do is that in the middle space, in the empty space between, they would have a little duel. So the kuffar would send three of their men, and the Muslims would send three of their men. And these three men would fight against each other. And the purpose was that the crowd would get very hyped. So if one of the Muslims got killed, the kuffar would scream, yeah! And if one of the Muslims were victorious, the Muslims would scream, yes! And it would get them all very hyped up and riled up for the war. So three of the people came from the Quraysh side. Three of the Ansar stepped forward. And these Ansar were proving their word to the Prophet ﷺ that not only will we stand by your side, but we're going to be in the front line as well. And three of them came out. And when these three from the Kuffar, when they saw these three Sahaba from the Ansar, they said, who are you three? We don't even know you guys. We don't know who you Medina guys are. We don't know Ansar. We don't know you guys. You guys are nobodies. Why don't you go back and send us three Qurayshis? Send us three of our people. We want to fight against the people that ran from us. And these three Sahaba, they looked at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called them back. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Qum ya Hamza." Hamza, stand up. Hamza radiallahu an, asadullah wa asadu rasuli. They had it easy. When Hamza radiallahu an stood up, it just changed. And then he said, "Qum ya Ali." Ali, stand up. 18. What do we call this? 18. "Qum ya Ubaidah." Ubaidah stood up. And three of them, they walked forward together in one line. And when they came forward from the other side, the three that came, Hamza radiallahu anhu, he sliced his guy into pieces. Ali radiallahu anhu, no problem. Ubaidah, however, when he struck his enemy, his opponent hit him back, and Ubaidah radiallahu anhu got hit. But Hamza and Ali radiallahu anhu came and wiped this guy clean. And then after that, the Muslims, they began to shout, Takbir Allahu Akbar, Takbir Allahu Akbar. They brought Ubaidah back into the lines. And when they brought him back into the lines, now the Muslims were very riled up because they had three on zero, right? And on that side, they were a little sad. But again, the numbers still spoke. It was 1,000 there and 313 here. 1,000 minus 2. 1,000 minus 3, sorry. Right? 997 left. And here you have 313 still left. So now the Prophet ﷺ said to the Sahaba that now is the main time. And the Prophet ﷺ was walking between the lines. And he was saying to the Sahaba, straighten your lines, stand together, don't disperse. Make sure you stand together, fight together. He's giving them last advice. And there's a very beautiful narration that while the Prophet ﷺ was walking through the lines, he saw one Sahabi with his chest sticking out. The Prophet ﷺ took his staff and hit him in the chest. He said, "Qum ya rajul," man, stand. I mean, stand straight. He said, "Stand straight, old man." He hit him in the chest. That Sahabi said, "O Messenger of Allah, you just oppressed me." Now there's a big battle about to take place. The Prophet ﷺ pokes him in the chest, and what does this guy say? "You just oppressed me." The Prophet ﷺ, subhanAllah, look at his composure. He doesn't say, "Be quiet, we'll deal with it later on." No. He removes his sheet, he gives him the staff, he says, "Take your revenge right now." The Sahabi puts the staff down and hugs the Prophet ﷺ. He said, "O Messenger of Allah, I wanted this to be my last memory of my life. Now I'm ready to give my life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, before the battle of Badr took place, he raised his hands and he went in his tent and he made dua to Allah. And he cried so much. He cried so much. Which month was it? Ramadan. In Ramadan, you make dua to Allah. And he raised his hands while the soldiers are outside ready to clash. And he raised his hands making dua to Allah. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he's searching, where is the Prophet? Where is the Prophet? And he sees the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is in his tent moments before the battle. And he goes inside the tent. And he sees the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is crying. And he's crying so much that his sheet kind of fell off his back a little. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abu Bakr says, he made a statement that really broke my heart. I mean, it was so powerful, such a powerful statement. He said, oh Allah, if we lose tomorrow, if we lose today in the battle, then there will be no one to worship you on this earth. When Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu heard this, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he put his hand on his back and he said, oh Messenger of Allah, Allah won't waste you now, that's enough. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came out and instructed the Sahaba to start. And the battle of Badr, when the sides clashed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave the Muslims a bonus. All Allah wanted to do was to see whether they would engage in the war or whether they would turn back. If they were to turn back, then this nation was to fail. But just as soon as the sides met, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a deal with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that your sahaba have met, they've passed their test, don't worry about anything, we are sending 1,000 trained angel soldiers. 1,000 angels. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, that's not enough. 3,000. And then Allah says, on the house, 5,000. 5,000 angels coming down. Before the ratio was 3 Muslims to 1, now the ratio is 1 of them to 5 angels. La ilaha illallah. And these 5,000 angels that come down. And the Sahaba, they say, one Sahabi, he says, that I wish I can take you to the battle of Badr, the land, and show you, I will point to you the place where the angels were coming down from. He says, we would just point our sword like we were about to hit someone and that guy was already down. We would raise our sword as if we were going to hit someone and that guy was down. We would pull our arrow back about to shoot at someone and that guy was already down. The angels were running through the battlefield and they were just wiping, they're knocking these guys on one after the other and none of them stood. Two of the great leaders of Makkah Mukarramah were killed in the battle of Badr. The first was Umayyah bin Khalaf. You guys ever heard of this name before? You guys have heard of this name before. You've heard of it many times. Let me see who you can remember. Whose story is Umayyah bin Khalaf's name mentioned? Raise your hand. At the back. Yes, very good. Bilal radiallahu anhu's story. Every time you hear the name of Bilal radiallahu anhu, the one that used to beat Bilal radiallahu anhu, and Bilal radiallahu anhu used to say, Ahad, Ahad, who was the person beating him all the time? Umayyah bin Khalaf. Bilal radiallahu anhu saw Umayyah bin Khalaf in the battle of Badr. And he said to the Ansar, you see that guy there? Go and kill him. Now, Bilal radiallahu anhu, obviously he had an emotional trauma, if you wish to say, because that guy beat him so much. He said to the Sahaba, you guys go and take him out. And then a group of Sahaba, they came. It was a very long incident, but at the end of it, they killed Umayyah bin Khalaf. And Abu Jahl also has a very interesting incident of the Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu's narration. It's an authentic narration of the Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu says, in the battle of Badr, I looked to my right and I looked to my left, and I was hoping that I have strong men next to me so I can rely on them in the battle if I needed help. But when I looked to my right, I had a small kid and his name was Mu'adh. And I looked to my left side and there was another small kid, his name was Mu'awwidh. And these two young kids, they were standing next to me. I thought to myself, rather than them supporting me, now I'm going to have to do babysitting. I'm going to have to look after these two kids. Mu'adh and Mu'awwidh, one by one, they poke him in the elbow. They say, where's Abu Jahl? And then Abdurrahman bin Auf says, why do you guys worry about Abu Jahl? Because Abu Jahl was a very big man. He was like Umar radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before Umar accepted Islam, he made dua to Allah, oh Allah, strengthen Islam through Abu Jahl or Umar. And Umar radiallahu anhu was the one that accepted Islam. So, he was a big man. Abdurrahman bin Auf said, what are you guys going to do with Abu Jahl? He's a big man. They said, we heard he speaks bad about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we will take revenge from him. Now, their mother, Mu'awwidh and Mu'adh, their mother's name was Afra radiallahu anha. What was her name? Afra. She has a very unique maqam that no other sahabi has. Afra radiallahu anha holds something that no other sahabi holds. What is that? She had two husbands. From her first husband, she had four sons. From her second husband, she had three sons. She is the only lady who had seven sons fighting in the battle of Badr. How many sons? Seven sons. They were all lined up in the battle of Badr, one after the other. All seven of them were there. And two of these sons were the ones who actually caused Abu Jahl to fall off his horse, and finally he was killed by Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. After the battle of Badr, it's a very powerful story, the battle of Badr, and the great things that happened. You know, Zubayr ibn Awam radiallahu anhu, Talha bin Ubaidillah radiallahu anhu, all these sahaba, the rank they played. You know, you can read that story at another time. When the Battle of Badr came to an end and after the Muslims were victorious, the bodies of all those who had been killed were taken and they were put inside a well. The name of the well was Badr, hence the reason why the battle is called the Battle of Badr. That was the well where the bodies were put inside after the battle was over. And all the captives were brought together. After Mashura being done, the Prophet ﷺ agreed that the captives would be released on a ransom. Based off the ransom that was given, they were set free. The Prophet ﷺ, when he was leaving the battlefield, he walked up to the cave. He walked up to the well. And he looked in the well and he said to the people, after all the bodies were there, he said to them, that I don't want you people to say to Allah that I oppressed you. I came to you. I taught Islam to you. You people were the ones that were ignorant. You were the ones who rejected. And he said that this, what has happened to you today, was actually because of your own actions. And then the Prophet ﷺ walked away. Hence the scholars say, Sima'ul Mawta. It's derived from this hadith right here. That can the dead hear? Can a person talk to the dead? Can a person go to the grave and talk to someone? They use this hadith. That the Prophet ﷺ spoke to the dead bodies of the kuffar in the battle of Badr. That's another issue. It's debated by the scholars. You can discuss that at another time. The Prophet ﷺ, when he returns back in the month of Ramadan to Medina Munawwara, the Sahaba were excited. They were celebrating and they were so happy. When the Prophet ﷺ came, he saw the Sahaba were returning back from a burial. The Prophet ﷺ asked them, who died? And they said, a messenger of Allah, your daughter Ruqayya radiallahu anha, we just ended up burying her right now. And that's why Uthman radiallahu anhu could not participate in the Battle of Badr, because she was very ill before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left. And he told Uthman, stay behind and watch after my daughter. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned, so we have mixed emotions here. Here the great battle just came to an end, and here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being tested by his daughter Ruqayya radiallahu anha being martyred. Not martyred, she passed away in the month of Ramadan. So that's why some scholars also say she was martyred, because the one who passes away in the month of Ramadan is also a very lucky person. She passed away in the month of Ramadan. And then in this Ramadan, obviously fasting was already obligated. So many scholars say the Sahaba who were fighting in the Battle of Badr, they were fasting. Imagine that. What were they doing? With all of that, they were fasting. However, some scholars say they were not fasting. So we should give justice to this. One opinion is they were fasting. The other opinion is that they were not fasting, because there was rukhsa for them. And the last thing, this very same Ramadan, that was the first time the Eid al-Fitr came in, and the Sahaba, they celebrated the Eid al-Fitr, and they gave the Sadaqat al-Fitr after that very same Ramadan. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq and ability to learn lessons from the Battle of Badr, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the Muslim Ummah victory on this very same day, in this very same Ramadan, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes away all the difficulties in the world, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers His mercy upon all those that are oppressed in the corners of the world. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.